my heart is always to point you toward Jesus. But for me to do that, I have to keep pointing myself toward Jesus. And one of the ways we do that is by thanksgiving. There's a lot of things I'm sure of in life because God has proven himself to me over and over and over again. That he's got it. That if I'll give it to him, he'll take care of it. Now, I got to be honest with you. There's a lot of times I'm going through stuff that I'm in the middle of it, and I feel like chaos surrounds me. I feel like nobody's got it, that I'm in a whirlwind, and I can't stop the, you know, like, remember that old song, Stop the World, I Want to Get Off? Well, that's sometimes I feel that way. I feel like sometimes I just, and then if I stop and I say, God, I need you. Like what Bob said, that heartfelt prayer. The Bible says an effectual, fervent prayer. That thing that comes in a heart connection from God. Not just throw something in the sky and hope it works. But knowing that God is our all in all and giving thanks to him for the answer. The Bible, you know, I think it was Paul that said, we believe, therefore we speak. Right? There's this heartfelt belief that we have and we speak out of that. It's really important for us to do that, to speak out thanksgiving to God, right? The fruit of our lips giving thanks to God. It's a good day to celebrate. Our government actually gives us a day off to give thanks. It's a good deal. They got one thing right, or maybe a few more, but that they got right, the Thanksgiving holiday, right? To give thanks. This is what the Bible says, Psalm 92, verse 1 to 4. It is good to give thanks to Jehovah, to the Lord, and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. To show forth your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On 10 strings and on the harp, with sounding music on the lyre. For you, Jehovah, O Lord, have made me glad with your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. You know, to show forth your loving kindness in the morning is not just for me and you. That's how we show God's glory in the earth. As we were singing this morning, I'm like, God, make my life a glory to your name. It isn't about me. It isn't about you. But God wants to show his glory through us. He wants to show how he redeems broken lives. He wants to show how he restores broken souls. He wants to show how he heals broken bodies. He wants to show how he provides for your needs through you. Thanksgiving to God is a beautiful thing. So this morning I've asked a few people to give thanks, to actually come up and tell their story about what God's done in their life. And I got a really short message today. I can lengthen it out if I have to or if I want to, or I can keep it shorter. Because what I sort of want to do is I want to give you an opportunity at the end of this, my message today, to give thanks. Just a short thank you to God. If anybody gets up here to preach, I'm going to make you preach the next 5 weeks, okay? So you just come. I'll just think about while I'm speaking, while others are giving their testimony. But these few that are coming, these are people that God has done some really fantastic things in their life this year, and I really want you to hear their story and what God's doing in them. And I haven't really told which one is which coming up. But Sarah, could you come up first? And is that all right? Sarah's got a great story, and some of you know parts of it, but I just want you all to hear her story. No. 5 minutes.
Yeah, this year has been a bit of an adventure, I guess. Yeah. Steve came back to the church a year and a half ago. I was a little thrown off by that, didn't know how to feel about that, didn't know how to take that, and God just said to me, him being here doesn't change who you are or who I am. So I just had to rest that God was going to be faithful through it all. So we had a few opportunities to work together. I drug him out here for a few times to
tell everybody who he is.
Steve.
Some people might not know.
Steve McLeod was. He's now my husband. He was my husband before. We separated, and we've been separated for 4 years. We were divorced for two in that time. We just got remarried about a month ago. Actually, a month ago.
Right.
So, sorry. So he came back and had a few opportunities to work with him. I was very, very, very hard on him. Very mean to him, actually. But I was very hurt by him, and I did not trust him, and I did not want to be put in that place again where I had to, but where I had to trust him again. And it's crazy how God works. He really brought me to a place in my life where I realized I needed Steve, not necessarily Steve himself, but I needed that companion, that friend, that someone to live life with. And Steve, when we were growing up, we were always good friends. I could tell him pretty much everything. He could tell me pretty much everything. We were really close, and we were always open with each other. And that's one thing that I'm very hard with a lot of people. I'm not very open. I tend to be a bit standoffish at first. So it was really neat to see how God worked through situations in my life to point me to Steve, because there was no way. I even said to Ralph, I said, I don't want him, but I don't want anybody else to have him.
Sure.
I really didn't. Yeah, but I have changed. I am not the woman that left that relationship today. And he's not that same man. And I can only credit that to God, because there was so much brokenness in both of our hearts and lives that it was only his through his work on that cross that we could do it. And every day I have to say that change that's in me that I've seen walked out for 4 years in me will be walked out in Steve. And I trust that God will keep us both, and that will come to pass. And when I asked God what I wanted, he wanted me to say, he just wanted me to remind you that there's, no matter how empty and dark it may seem, there's always light. And just before, when it's darkest, light is coming. And I say this that I've had this great victory, but I'm not there yet either. There's still things I fight through every day. And you know what? God's still faithful, and he's never proven not. Anything I've challenged him on, I've had some very bad conversations with God. I'm sure sometimes he just wants to go, what are you doing?
Right.
But he's still loving and caring, right. and always does, always drawing me back to him. So I just encourage you to keep on in him, because that's it. That's the only way. You can't do it on your own, and I can't do it on my own, and yeah, God is good, and I'm thankful for a church family too that loves me and cares about me and prays for me and supports me. So, yeah.
Right on. I think the important thing to remember is to always point your life toward God. Mostly when you fix that vertical relationship, the horizontal relationships will start to clean up. Our life centered in God is really, really important. God is the rebuilder of the broken walls of our life. Don't matter how broken your life is today, Jesus is here to heal you, to fix it, to help you, to stand with you, you know? So just give it to him. I just want to pray for you. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, you're the rebuilder of the broken things in our lives, Lord. Lord, you came to redeem and to set free and to set right. Lord, I just pray for the person here today who, Lord, feels their life is beyond broken. Lord, that feels that they're beyond help or hope. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, today they will find hope in you, that they will find courage in you, and that today, Lord, you will do a great miracle, Lord, in their hearts and lives. Lord, remind us all today how close you are to us. Lord, how much you care for us, how much you love us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Just reach out. If I pick these testimonies because I really believe that God wants to work in certain parts of our lives today. So allow his work. If you needed that this morning, just sit back for a little while. Just meditate on the goodness of God and what you heard. Like, they're, I walk with them through their marriage breakup. I walk with them through their marriage, through their wedding, their first, their second. I've seen the hurt. I tell you, like, if God could fix them, God could fix anybody. God is still the God who raises the dead today. Don't matter what problems you have today, He is your hope. He's your hope. Second person I want to have come up is Alyssa. Alyssa's got a great story. She's been, you know, working real. Anyway, I'm going to let her tell her story. And I just think this is really hopeful. For some of you that have really need of what God's done in her life, just listen and find hope.
Okay. My story kind of takes place over the last year and a half, 2 years. I went to Brock University for the teacher education program. And I did my teacher's college year in the school year of 2012 to 2013. In that teacher's college, they require you to do 2 practicals in classrooms. The first one was fantastic, had a great experience. The second one, which was in March and April of 2013, was honestly the worst, most stressful time of my entire life. I was with a teacher who had very high expectations of me that I failed to meet according to her standards. And I was with a class that was full of children who were either really struggling or were really brilliant. It was a grade 4, 5, 6 class with 26 kids. Lowest level student couldn't read. Highest level student was doing grade 11 math at home. So trying to meet all of those put such immense pressure on myself because I strive to be, I try to be perfect in everything I do. I realize now that's really not possible, at least without God. And I really tried to do it all on my own and ended up really, really stressed out. But through that, God proved himself completely faithful just in the people that I had surrounding me. My mother was fantastic. She did many, many late nights, stay up all night. Alyssa needs to do all of her marking tonight because it's due tomorrow, and did that with me. And I'm very thankful for just the support she gave me. And even just in having random conversation with people, and Andrea Hughes, who just on a whim kind of sent me something in a Facebook message that kind of changed my whole day in a really positive way. So it was insane and crazy, and my last day there was fantastic because I knew I never had to go back there. And then that night, I was actually kind of randomly supposed to babysit for a family that I've only babysat for once, first and last time, because they actually have a full-time nanny, but it turned out their nanny couldn't be there that night, so I just happened to go do that. And I really didn't want to because I had just finished the most insane time of my life. And I was like, I really don't want to do this. I want to go home, curl up into a ball, cry my eyes out, and go to sleep because it's over. But I ended up doing it, and it was fun. That's important a little while later. But that experience in that classroom really wrecked me for my confidence level. I didn't set foot back into a classroom to volunteer or teach for actually an entire year after that. I didn't go back into a classroom until May of this year. Because I got comfortable again in my bookstore job and I was doing other things. I just really didn't want to go back because I had no confidence in my ability to teach because of the teacher I'd been working with. Just before I went back into a classroom was actually when we had spring conference. And I just was looking through my journal a little while ago and I found this, was the 3 miracles that we had been asked to write down and believe for. And the first one I wrote down was a job in the Niagara region that will fulfill my calling to be a teacher and a leader. So I put that down and believed for it, and then I was able to go and volunteer with the teacher that I had worked with for my first block and had, you know, just kind of reorientating myself in a classroom and had a really great experience there. At the end of May of this year, I was at a movie. I was in the middle of a theater watching the previews, and my phone buzzed, and I actually got a text from the mother that I had babysat those children for, and she said that her kids went to private Christian school, Calvary Christian School, which is in St. Catharines, and they had received a newsletter home looking for a teacher to fill in for their grade 1-2 class next year for a maternity leave. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. So I called the school the next Monday, and went in and dropped off a resume and, you know, any way I can, like, please, 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 please pick me. And I got a call from the principal later that day saying, we'd love to have you come in and do an interview. I was supposed to interview on the Thursday. Then he called me, actually, I was supposed to go in Thursday afternoon. He called me Thursday morning and said, you know what, we filled that position, but we would love to have you come in and interview for our supply list. I said, okay, sure. You know, that kind of bummed out I didn't get to interview for that job, but supply list is cool, all right. Went in and had an interview. It went great. Had to do a few evaluations and fill out some paperwork and things like that. June 11th, I was hired for their supply list, which I was ecstatic for because I was just happy to be on a supply list anywhere at that point, having been graduated with my OCT accreditation for an entire year and teaching right now. You basically get nowhere right now, so I was thrilled to be on a supply list anywhere. So you kind of think about it all summer, and you go, okay, I'm going to be on a supply list. Wonder when they're going to call me. And first day of school rolls around, and I'm like, make sure I have my phone on, and, you know, it's sitting right there by my bed, so if they call me really in the morning, it'll be there. And, of course, nobody's getting sick the first day of school. No teacher is missing the first day of school. So I didn't get called, and I didn't get called, and didn't get called. And then Monday, September the 15th, which was just almost a month ago, I got a call from the principal asking to come in and do some training in their kindergarten classroom and also doing some EA training in their grade 1-2 class. And I said, sure. When do you want me? When can I come? And so I've done a little bit of that. And then on Friday, October 3rd, which was a little more than a week ago, I was hired as a full-time EA, which is an educational assistant, in their grade 1-2 class. So, yes. So it's not a teaching position. I work mainly to help support the students in the class who have just some focusing issues and behavioral problems, and I just kind of guide and just support the teacher. But I am now full-time working in a Christian school, which I am so happy about. And I have, hopefully if this year works out, I have an opportunity to maybe eventually down the road move into a classroom as a full-time teacher there. I have no promise of that yet, but I'm believing God for it because He managed to make a spot for me where there wasn't one before in less than 2 years of being graduated from school, which anyone else can tell you is impossible right now. So I am so thankful to God in just His faithfulness and His provision in honestly what seems like to be the absolute most impossible situation, that He can be there and He can make that space for you. And starting as the worst time of my life, having a random babysitting job for one night, getting a text from a parent, just all those crazy little things that don't seem to make sense, looking back over this last year and a half, have all been God. So I am just blown away and excited. And if you're at a place in your life where the walls are closing in and you feel like there is absolutely no way to get out of this situation, there is no way for me to move forward, God is good. God is faithful. God can do anything, and He can make that space for you. He can make a job for you. He can make a raise happen for you, even when you think there is no way in the natural human world that this can happen. But God is supernatural, and we are so thankful for that. So thank you.
That's plan. God's called you to something. Just put your ear out there and say, God, what do you want me to do? And do it. I know, like, there was a lot of miracles that have happened over this whole miracle thing we did with the box and three miracles you're believing God for. That's cool, right? It's really cool. God hears and answers prayer. And He has a spot for you. If you're sitting there and you're wondering, what's my spot? Ask God to make a way. He'll make a way. Where it seems impossible, He'll make a way. I'm going to pray for you. Lord, I just thank you for the person here who, Lord, maybe can't see their way forward today, who maybe has lost confidence. Lord, maybe they're, Lord, feeling like they just don't have what it takes. Lord, show them today who they are in you. Show them that they're a much-loved daughter and son of God. Lord, that you have a plan and a purpose and a way through. Lord, I pray that you deal with their discouragement. Lord, that you'd fill them with joy. Lord, they trade their ashes for the oil of joy. Lord, they change their sackcloth for, Lord, just a robe of righteousness, Lord, today. Lord, we just thank you that by the power of your Spirit, you're working here. Lord, filling hearts with hope today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So my last person that's coming up this morning is Jean. I don't know how many of you know Jean or have heard her story, but I get to ride with her on the bus every week, and she just really makes me smile. And I think if you need to smile this morning, you're going to smile. So just open your heart up, and let's hear what Jean. Jean's had a real transformational, really salvation this year, and she's got a real great story to tell. So let's welcome her as she comes. Said she might be nervous, but I don't think she's going to be. Want me to stay up here with you, or are you okay?
I adore you, Jesus.
Yeah. Praise you, Lord.
You're great.
Mm-hmm.
It's only through the grace of God that I can give you this testimony. On the 12th of August, I had a terrible accident.
Right.
I fell. My foot got hooked in the boulevard of the street. I fell face down in the street. I broke my shoulder in three places. And the woman that was with me, oh, she didn't see me under the car. She could have backed up. She didn't see me. And she waited for half an hour, and she doesn't even know why. But when I went to get up, as I turned around, my legs and my feet were underneath the car. So, Jesus. It's Jesus.
It is.
It's only because of Jesus that I'm here.
Right.
He's given me another chance. And he's got a plan for me.
Right.
And I know what the plan is.
Right.
I have two people in my building that are elderly people. And I have two now that I go and visit. And one lady, I bring her breakfast over for her every morning and talk to her. She's in her 80s, and she's so lonesome, and she really appreciates me going to see her. And I have another one in my building who's quite cranky.
Quite cranky, yeah.
But I go and see her, and she, when I go to see her, she smiles, and she's really happy. And she says to me, "Jean, I want you to come more often to see me."
Right.
And when I came home from the hospital, she's the first one that came to see me, and she brought me two angels, a mother and a daughter, you know. And we get along just fine, her and I. We have no trouble.
Good.
And I have to say thank you to Fran and Kimberly. Because if it wasn't for Fran, I wouldn't be coming to Jubilee Church. And Jubilee Church has done so much for me. I love all the people. And especially Pastor Ralph. He's just wonderful. And his wife, Christine. They're the most wonderful people I've ever met. They came to see me in the hospital all the time. And I got to thank my daughter, too, because she was there to help me. And she's having problems of her own, but she was still there for me.
Right on.
So thank you, Jesus. I love you and adore you with all my heart.
So, Jean, when before you met Jesus, what was life like for you?
Well, I always believed in Jesus.
Yep.
But you, it never came, it was never alive to me until I became born again.
When you became born again, what
difference does that make? When I became born again, I received love, peace, and joy that I never had in my life before.
Right.
And it was just like I still have it. I have it every day.
Right on. And what happened when you went home that next day?
I cried. And I cried at my daughter. I scared my daughter. She was scared.
You scared
Angie. She said, "Mom, why are you crying?" She said, "Don't cry. You're making me scared." I said, "I'm not crying because I'm upset. I'm crying because I'm happy."
Right.
"Well, I don't understand that," she said. "Usually when people cry, they're sick or there's something wrong with them."
Right.
I said, "But there's nothing wrong with me. I'm happy."
Right.
"I don't understand that," she said.
Right.
But I said, "Well, it's in your heart. You can feel it, and I have to get this out and tell you."
Yeah.
So that's what happened.
Right on. Well, that's good. And he still makes you happy.
Oh, yes.
Still filled with joy.
Yes, and I read the Bible every day and my devotionals every day.
And he's
changed your life. And this church means so much to me.
Now you mean a lot.
I went to church before.
Yeah.
But I came home and I didn't feel any better than when I went, you know? And now when I go, now Saturday night, I can't wait to go to church.
Right on.
Well, it's just good. such a warm place to go. And the people are so beautiful.
So do you think you're different now that you're born again?
Oh, yes. Well, I wasn't a really rotten person anyway.
No? Were you a happy person?
Well, no, I wasn't happy.
And now?
I'm happy.
Right on.
Yep.
Praise the Lord.
I'm really
Thanks,
happy.
Thanks, Steve. Thank you. I asked Ange when we were talking one day, was your mom always this positive? She said, no, she wasn't. But now she is. And, you know, God wants to change your life. Sometimes, I think some people, and this is for people that have walked with the Lord for a long time, we get so settled in it. We start taking it for granted. We start just sort of saying, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. But there's a joy that should accompany being a Christian. There should be an overwhelming sense of God's life and presence in us that really provokes us to really just give thanks. I mean, I drive the bus just about every Sunday except for one, and John drives it then, and I know he feels the same as I do. It's so fun. But partly it's just fun because, like, we get together with the ladies, they're all like, and they're like just, oh, man, God's so good. We love him so much. Life is, oh, you know, and you come off the bus and you're like, yay, let's go to church. You know, it's there's a joy in serving Jesus. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, even as we've heard Gene's story, Lord, about, Lord, being, Lord, you know, just coming into a born again relationship with you and transformed life, Lord, and seeing, Lord, that she has a call, a simple call to just love the people around her, to allow the love of God to flow from her to others. Lord, help all of us who have walked with you for a long time to have that same overwhelming joy, that same thanksgiving, that same heart and passion to return and give thanks, Lord. Lord, transform our lives. Lord, today, if there's any of us here that feel kind of like dead inside, and Lord, we've lost the joy of our salvation, today I pray that the joy of our salvation would be restored and renewed through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, did you guys like that? I liked it. And there's a lot more testimonies around here, and you'll get an opportunity. So keep that in mind. Today I want to talk about why Thanksgiving is important. Not as a day, but as a lifestyle. Paul wrote most of the New Testament, and at many times throughout his writings, he stopped and gave directions like this, with a series of things that mark the life of a Christ follower, things that we must do if we want to keep our lives in tune with what God wants to do. And here's some of the things he says. So I'm going to read a bunch of scripture here. I mean, we could read along, but I'll just read along with me. So in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 17, it says, "So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked for you, compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline, be even tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense." Can you be content with second place? Could you be content? Can you rejoice with those who rejoice? Can you do that? You should. As believers, we should do that. Quick to forgive an offense, forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. Wow, that's a good one. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. Right? Wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it.
Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. So thankfulness isn't always something that flows from you, right? It's something we have to cultivate. It's something we have to, you know, like if you're a gardener, you know, you got to dig up the weeds once in a while. You got to fluff up the ground. You got to put some water on it, some fertilizer, and just keep working at it and give thanks. Give it, cultivate a life of thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense and sing your hearts out to God. How many of you did that today? Sang your heart out for God. This isn't just like what John would like you to do. This is what the scripture tells us. Sing your heart out. Should be sore throat by the time you get done singing in church or at home or wherever. Just belt it out. Give it to God. He doesn't care if you don't sound that good. We don't really care. Just give it to Him. Right? Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus. Thanking God the Father every step of the way. This is Thanksgiving. This is a whole line of things that we need to remember in our Christian walk. And thankfulness, cultivating thankfulness and having a thankful heart to God comes up twice. It's important. In Colossians 4:2, it says, never give up praying. And when you pray, keep alert and be thankful. When you pray, be thankful. Because we know this, that Jesus did the work on the cross. He paid for our salvation on the cross. When we receive salvation, we can be assured that that has been paid for on the cross. So we give thanks. I thank Jesus every day. Thank you, Lord, that you saved me. Thank you that you shed your blood for me so I could be right with God. Thank you, Lord, for that. But he did a lot of other things on the cross. You know, if you read Isaiah, it says that by his stripes, we are healed. So we accept that with thanksgiving when we pray. We say, thank you, Lord, that you paid that. I receive it. I take hold of what you promised. I'm not going to let the gift that you've given me go to waste. I'm going to thank you now for what you're doing. He promised to take care of our needs. He promised so many things that he did in the work on the cross. And when we pray, we should do it with thanksgiving. In 1 Thessalonians 5, starting at 14, it says, now we exhort you, brothers, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, support the weak, be patient toward all. Anybody been practicing this week? Right? This is part of our Christian life, right? Have you looked around and seen some people that are maybe a bit weak and comforted them this week, called them up, let them know that you're caring for them, praying for them, and maybe, you know, stop by, bring them, you know, a meal, or just stop your busy life and just do some of these things. This is what God is asking us to do. See that no one gives evil for evil to anyone. So while your friend's talking to you on the phone, maybe, you know, you're talking in the cafe this afternoon, and you know what this person did to me? I can't believe that person would do that to me, right? Instead of doing that, you know, we make sure that we don't return evil for evil. So this person did this, and now you're gossiping about them. We need to stop this conversation, right? Make sure no one turns evil for evil, right? That's our job, to help each other. But always pursue the good, both towards one another and towards all. Rejoice evermore, right? So rejoice is like, yay, that's cool, right? Right? Yeah, nice. Happy for you, right? No, what's rejoicing? Yeah, that's awesome. Yes. You know, that's rejoicing is not like, ah, yeah, well, I'm Canadian, eh? Like, yeah, until the Leafs score, then our whole ceiling comes off our house, right? But like, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, not for everything, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. So when things are going sideways, oh, thank you, Jesus. Ah, thank you, Lord, that you got this. Thank you that you're taking care of me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to the good. Abstain from every appearance of evil. And may the God of peace himself sanctify you and make you whole, spirit, soul, and body. Be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. Hey, like, isn't that cool? This is simple instructions for Christianity. They're all over Paul's writings. We need to do them. But in every one, you'll find, be thankful. Give thanks. Cultivate thanksgiving. Do this. Thankfulness is a big part of our Christian walk. Why would he tell you that no matter what life is throwing at you, today, in the middle of that, in everything, give thanks? Because it's really important. So I want to talk about a couple reasons why it's important today. I'm going to keep it, pretty short. I keep saying that, so you should be worried. Thankfulness, number one, turns our heart towards the blessing rather than the struggle. I really believe as a people, I believe as a church, I believe as a culture, I believe as a nation, we need to grow up. I think we need to understand that life has struggle. The quicker we realize that we're going to go through some stuff, the easier it is that we're not always disappointed and crushed every time like things don't go our way. If you read the New Testament, all of Paul's writings, again, will deal with struggle, trial. He'll tell Timothy many times, Timothy, be a man. Suck it up, boy. It's going to be hard. Things are going to be rough. Paul talks many times about, I've been tortured. I've been beat. I've been whipped. I've been through all this stuff. And I think that a big part of our Christian life is to realize that we have to go through some struggle. It's part of life. But we need to remember God's with us, that he'll never leave us, never forsake us. That he's got it. He'll take care of it. He'll turn our mourning into dancing. He'll turn our sorrow into joy. He'll turn it if we'll let him do that. We all have to come to grips with the fact that in life there is trouble. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 10 to 12, it says, Timothy, you've been a good apprentice to me, a part of my teaching, my manner of life, direction, faith, steadiness, love, patience, troubles, suffering along with me in all the grief I had to put up with in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. And you always well know that God rescued me. Anyone who wants to live all out for Christ is in for a lot of trouble. There's no getting around it. Happy Thanksgiving. Right? When we're going to live for Jesus, we're going to have trouble. That's what Paul said, right? He said, he taught us the way to live as Christ followers. There's going to be trouble. If you live for Jesus, you're in a war. You can find many references throughout God's word that warn us that struggles that go along with serving Jesus in a contrary culture. Because we seem like pretty relaxed as Canadians. But I'll tell you what. It's amazing how much pushback Christianity gets in our culture. I mean, I was at my son's graduation the other night, and they had a woman get up and pray to I don't know who or what. And I was like, wow, like seriously? This woman isn't even part of our town? And we have like so many great pastors in our town who could have got up and prayed for this event and done it in a way that, we could bless God and bless the people and not be like crazy. I'm serious. The God who is everything and nothing all at the same time. The God, we're all part of him and we're nothing and we're, I'm like, what? There's a pushback in our culture. I'll tell you what, if you think you're not in a war, wake up, people. We're in a war. We're going to live in a contrary culture we're going to suffer. In the Bible, in Paul's writings, again, it talks a lot about our lives as a war. It tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, right? But it says we're in war, warfare. I never met anybody that's going like, yeah, well, I'm in a war. It's kind of cool. It's all good. I'm just taking a vacation right now from the war, but it's all, you know, it's enjoyable. I like it. You know, it's not. It's hard. War is hard. Here's the other truth, though. We live in a contrary culture. We're in a war. We have a life that's steeped in trouble. But here's what the good side is. God is good. There's a lot going on that's good in the world today. I think like every day, tens of thousands of people are coming to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, committing their life to Him. Every day, people are being fed. You know, Peter Pretorius, I'm going to send out an email this week, Peter and Ann Pretorius, who head up the hunger feeding program that we do, are up for a Humanitarian of the Year award, and they're looking for some votes. But they're feeding, I think it's almost 1 million people a day they're feeding in Africa, hungry kids. You know, God is good. God's meeting needs. Like, Jean's laying under the car there for a long time, and God was protecting her. He was with her. He didn't let the car run her over. You know, God is good. There's a lot of good things happening in the world today. There's a lot of good things happening in our life. Right? At any given moment in our life, things are really hard, and things are really great. I think that the idea, which one has the most strength in our life, the hard things or the good things, are what we give our focus and our attention to. And when we give our heart to thanksgiving, we're giving our attention to how good God is and what God is capable of. I thought what Pastor Peter said last week was so powerful. He said, worry is when we look at our problem and compare it to us. And faith is when we look at our problem and compare it to God. That's powerful. You should write that down. Get your phones out, do whatever. But that's a really powerful statement. And when we give thanks to God, we activate the power of God, but we take our attention off the bad things, which are always happening, and the good things that are always happening, and we turn toward God and what He's doing. God wants us to turn toward Him. He has a plan. The reality that usually impacts us the most is the one that we focus on. Thanksgiving is about focusing upon which is good, which usually keeps us out of a place of frustration, worry, and care. Right? I don't know about you, but I've been in the presence of the Lord many times in my life where I've just sat there and I've said, God, You're just so good. And I just feel His presence. Even now when I'm talking about it, I can just feel the presence of the Lord. And in that place, I'm serious. I'm not really worried about anything. I don't care about much right now except just, oh, Jesus, I love You. When we get in that place, God works in us and does so many good things. Here's what it says in Philippians 4, verse 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Not just like, hey, hope it's all going good. Yeah, whatever. Is it already 11:30? Who? Let me hurry. All right, rejoice in the Lord always. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are right, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, and whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. Do those things which you have also learned and received and heard and seen in Me, and the God of peace shall be with you. These are the things we're supposed to focus on. Good, true, pure, holy, right. When we focus on those things, it'll play a big part in the level of stress we have and the level of fear we don't have and the level of joy we walk in and the level of, you know, victory we walk in. And when we walk in stress-free, when we walk in joy, we walk in those things, our life is better. We live longer, we live healthier, it's all good. Thanksgiving. when we get together with our families today and tomorrow and we sort of talk about what we're thankful for, I guarantee you this, it's going to lift your life for at least a little while you're doing it. So why not make it a lifestyle? It says again, so I'm just going to leave it there because I really would love for a few of you to give some testimony. Is that okay? I really would love for you to give some testimony this morning. God, giving thanks, just my last point is this, seems to bring a complete work of God in our lives. Sometimes we're started, we get started on something and we see God start and then we falter and we get focused again on the things that we're struggling with and we start focusing again on the stuff that's going wrong and we start focusing again on all the negative things in our life. And when we turn our focus back to God, God does beautiful things in everything, the Bible says. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is a scripture I love. I've just really learned to love it over the last while, but I've always known it. But here's a great encouraging scripture, Isaiah 40, verse 28 to 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary and walk and not faint. The scripture for that point really is found in Luke chapter 17, verse 13 to 19. And it's the story of the 10 lepers. And Jesus said, Go show yourself to the priest. So they went, and the leprosy had stopped, and they were allowed to go back to their communities. They'd been shunned. They had to live on their own. They had to cry out every time when someone came near them, unclean, 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 so people would shun them. But God healed them so that they could go back into culture. But one came back, the Bible says, and gave thanks. And that one was made whole. I think one of the things that we have to realize is God's willing to heal us. Sometimes he just, you know, he gives us that spot where we're taken care of now. But sometimes we're so willing to walk around on that stump, you know, like or we're willing to try and eat with no hand left or walk around with no ear on because, you know, that's what leprosy does to you. Or we can come back and we can give thanks to God and let him complete the work in our life. All right? So if anybody wants to give a testimony, we're running a little slow on time here. So if you want to give a testimony, come on up right away. All right, we have some Russian testimonies here. Okay, here. Go ahead.
She can run faster than I can. And I'm pretty sure, though, those couple of nights that the Heather and Alyssa were up all night, that I was sleeping in my bed, and that was I'm thankful for that, too. Anyways, I'm also very thankful that Friday we celebrated our 27th wedding anniversary. So, and this gal here has made my life a lot easier than it otherwise normally would have been for the last 27 years. But I do have a lot to be thankful for. And as I was sort of challenged this week and thinking about that, about the privilege and being thankful for being born into a Christian family and the generations that were before that, before my mom and dad and my grandparents, and even before that, that were Christ followers, and that it transformed into my life. And now to watch that being walked out in my kids' life, not just values that we try to train them up into, but the fact that they've made the faith their own and are walking it out, and God's working different things and miracles in their life. And just that Joel and Amelia are doing well also up in Mississauga. Joel's really enjoying school. And I'll let Heather tell you a little bit the rest because you're probably going to say something about that, right? So I've got a lot to be thankful for.
I was going to say that, 27 years. And one of the things about the type of person I am is I'm an organizer and I'm a fixer and I'm a doer and I like to have it all sorted out. My daughter will tell you that. But I don't know if it's maturity or just learning to trust in God and just to let him figure it all out. But when I look over my life,
27 years we've been married, but 28 years ago I went to, most of you know this story, I went to Bible school in New Zealand where Ed was, and we both grew up in Vineland, and we are married. So that's one of the things I look at in my life, and I say to my kids or to people, you know what, God really does have it figured out. And if we just trust him, and that doesn't mean don't be diligent and work hard and try to make the things fall into place, but when Alyssa was sharing that, I'll never forget the day I was cutting my grass in the backyard. And I had to figure it all out. Like, Alyssa, I had to get 80% to get into that program. And, okay, now that she's in, and I was frantic. And it was like, God said, Heather, just relax. You know what? Because you'll always have something to stress out and worry about. And if now that she's in, then she has to keep up 80% to stay in. And every year it's that. And then is she going to get a job and all that? She's got a job. I'm so thankful. And Amelia, after 2.5 weeks of being in Mississauga, got a $2 an hour raise. They loved her so much, they gave her a raise. That doesn't happen. Joel's doing well. Just, God cares about all those little things. He does. Just trust him for those things. And just don't get caught up in it. Just rely on him. And I love this guy. I can't tell you how much I love him.
Anybody else? Okay. You can line up, you know. It's okay. Put pressure on.
Okay, this is really out of my...
It is.
Very much. But I guess I want to say that, you know, up until the last couple of years, I was very bitter about being an only child. I know that's amazing to you people with lots of brothers and sisters, but I hated it. Now, James has been working out in Alberta for almost a year and a half. And I'm realizing that, you know what, that was preparation because I'm really good at being alone, maybe better than some other people. Right. I don't find it so tragic.
Right.
Not to say I don't miss him at all. I do. I really do. But, you know, God is so good because when they had that lockout at U.S. Steel, James had something land up right away, and he hated U.S. Steel with a passion. He hated it because there's no room to grow there. You're the bottom man for the rest of your days, which are short now. So, I mean, you know, it was good. He had a job lined up. 2 days later, he was on the plane, and out he went. And you know, it's been hard, but it's been a way for him to make his dreams come true.
Yeah.
And I get to back him up, which, you know, and I'm glad to see that because I don't like seeing him held back.
Right.
But I'm just thankful that, you know, I've been able, it'd be nice if work was always steady there, but it's good. And I'm just so glad he made that choice to go. Because of the mess U.S. Steel's in today.
Right.
You know, we'd be in a really big, facing a really big mess right now.
Right.
So, you know, hindsight's 20/20. And, you know, I think, wow, you know, I'm so glad that I had some preparation to be alone. And my kids are great most of the time, so.
Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
So let's just, right. And by the way, I'm so happy too that I made a funny choice way back in high school. I was supposed to go to South Lincoln High School. First day of school, I thought, I don't want to go there. I went to Beamsville District Secondary School instead. And praise God, that's where I met my husband.
Right on.
So all these funny little choices, you don't have a clue why you're doing them.
Right.
There's a reason, I guess.
God's leading you along, eh?
Yeah.
Right on. That's awesome. That's good. Awesome. God's with you.
So I think it was 2 weeks ago my sister got married. The week before that, on the Monday, I was at work, and we had these knives to cut bags, and I cut probably 30 to 40,000 bags of just product into these scales. And the bag ripped, and I stabbed myself in the eye. But it was a carpenter's knife, so it had a curve to the blade. The knife cut the front of my eyelids, like maybe a half a centimeter, And the top of the eyelid, there's three sides to your eyelid, if you didn't know. There's the front, the back, and the top. It cut the top and the front, not the back. And I basically hit myself with enough force to give... I basically punched myself in the face. I had a black eye for the same day my sister was married. I still had a black eye. And the mayor, he was campaigning. He asked what the other guy looked like, and I wish there wasn't the guy. But so, yeah, I just want to say... I'm thankful for God's protection from myself, and I'm thankful for my wonderful wife and my sister's relationship with her new husband again.
Right on. Good. Anybody else? Don't wait long. Come right away, because we're going to end this pretty soon. I know a lot of people are waiting on turkey dinners.
He said that because he knows I talk a lot.
No, that's not why.
I'm really excited. I don't think it was last January, but the January before. We always come up and we have prayer for the beginning of the year. And Lorraine said, you know, they were praying with us, and all of a sudden she said, "I have a word for you." And she said, "You're just going to explode. Like, things are just going to happen." And because, you know, God gives you talents, right? And I was really struggling because there's so many things I like to do. I love to do just everything. And my parents named me Well, because I should have been Jacqueline of all trades, but whatever. So anyways, not all trades. But anyways, one of the things that I like to do is baking. And one of the things that really ticked me off as a kid is my mom would ground me for any reason at all she could find. And my grounding was that I had to bake. So I've thanked her regularly, because now I have a job baking. And the place that I work at, and by the way, it came to pass, because I'm now baking, but I'm allowed to use my own recipes. I'm allowed to expand my repertoire. I'm allowed to just be free with what I'm doing. And even when I experiment and make a mistake, it's, you know, whatever. They're pretty forgiving. The other thing about it is that they tell me that I can be a mentor, and they're pretty open about different spiritual things, which they cannot say anything to me when I pray for someone because they're so open, and I use that. And so it's really interesting because people have come into, you know, like that I've served as customers. And, you know, I would go home or even at that moment, and I would pray for them, you know, that God would reveal himself to them, that he would reveal his son Jesus to them. And I always feel it's really important to lay the groundwork, you know, through prayer. And so I never expect that God would actually open the doors for me to talk to them about Jesus and to pray with them. And it's happened four times I can count up. And so I'm really excited, and I'm hoping that I'll see more of that. And so I just thank God for that. And that's what I was going to share today, Mom, so you can skip me today.
Right on. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, this last one.
Sure what I'm going to say, but I just know when I'm feeling that burning going on inside of me, I have to just get up and be thankful for a day like today. So I just want to say thank you to Ralph and Christine for all their love and leadership and their sacrifice to the body of Christ, because I know it's powerful. And I could just like go row by row. Everyone here, I'm just so thankful to be a part of Jubilee as well, Jean. And, sincerely, I know that you know, God has placed us here for a reason, and we're just doing life together, no matter what it looks like. You know, we're just bringing whatever God has, you know, given us, and just sharing, you know, that love, what we have, just to you know, do what he's asked us to do, whatever we have to be faithful. And I'm just so grateful to have a wonderful place to do that. And thank you so much. I love you all so much. I better stop now. I'm going to start babbling.
Thank you. All right.
All right. So this morning there is no cafe because we want to free you to go to your Thanksgiving dinners, which we've already held you back for a few minutes on. But you welcome to, you know, say hi and greet each other. Have a great Thanksgiving. While you're leaving here today, why don't you stop and tell somebody something you're thankful for, and God bless. Have a great weekend and just enjoy each other. God bless.